Well, thanks so much to all of you who are contributing to leadership in the service. I enjoyed so much your leadership. Thanks for all the participants. People in the power, in the taking care of the power point, sound, ushers, and again, for those of you who are here. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that we have so many here today. Glad that you didn't get scared away because I'm speaking or because of the cold weather. Well, the theme is the same here as up at Camp Kakwa. Freedom from stress. This is following through on Pastor Jim's series on freedom. Stress actually is a part of life. It starts very young. If any of you ever experienced, and some of the younger people, we don't have too many younger people here today, but experienced bullying in school, that can be pretty stressful from what I hear. Fortunately, I never experienced that. I don't know why I escaped. But that is one form of stress. When we were young, which was a long time ago, my mom had three rambunctious boys. Well, she had two girls, too. But the problem was, we three boys were just a year and a half apart. You know, as I look back on that, I wonder now, how did she ever cope with the three of us in that little house, scooting around under her feet, making all kinds of noise, racing? I found out later it wasn't as easy as what it looked like then. She did admit that she was stressed out at times. But that can be quite stressful. I have a friend that maybe two or three of you might remember. He used to be a pastor here, not in this church, but in the Baptist church in Stouffville, Gord Goodrum. Every once in a while, I run into people in Stouffville who say, oh, you know Gord Goodrum? You know, it's wonderful. And so we have some great conversations. When Gord's nine children, the oldest of them, were ready for high school, they decided they wanted their children in a Christian school. And so they left Stouffville with no job, bought a house in Ridgeway, which isn't too far from our school in Niagara Christian College, Fort Erie, and started life all anew. You talk about a step of faith? There had to be times of stress. In fact, I only found this week, in a letter that he wrote to me, that when they went to Fort Erie with no work, he didn't know how he was going to afford the fees that were charged at NCC. He told me for the first time that I can recall that someone, he didn't say over there or over here, someone paid the fees for the first 2 years that those children were in school. But that had to be a level of stress for that family moving over to that area, really not having anything in store for them. He soon, of course, was able to get work, and then because of his pastoral experience, began pastoring for the Brethren of Christ Church. But these are just illustrations of stress as a part of life. I read recently the story of a black woman in Memphis, Tennessee. She had a great family, but in addition, she raised 75 foster children over a long period of many years. They were coming out of all the nooks and crannies of the house. Can you imagine taking care of 75, not all at once, but over this stretch of 30 years, taking care of 75 foster children? Stress. Well, we have in Scripture many words that relate to this. And we're going to read together on the overhead here the Scripture that we're using and they're using at Camp Kakwa. It's a short Scripture, but I want us all to read it. And since we don't all carry the same versions of Bibles, this will be one way to read it. So let's have this on the PowerPoint and read the words that Jesus has given to us about stress. Come to me. All right, let's all be together here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For the next 5 minutes, I want to look, first of all, at the word come. I think it's wonderful that Jesus so often invites us to come to him. When Jesus stood up that first Sabbath day in the synagogue, we would say today, Sunday in the church, his message was pointed to people who were under duress, great duress. He identified those who were in prison, the poor, the blind, the oppressed, and then he ministered largely to people who were under stress, the lepers whom no one wanted. And so Jesus announced in his first public message, I am come that you might have release from this burden, stress. When the little children came to Jesus, remember the adults, and some of us have been there, they tried to keep them away because Jesus was too busy to bother with the little children. But Jesus said to them, let the little children come to me. His word has always been come. I'm glad he gave that word to me and to you. I'll always remember. It's an experience I can never forget. When at 9 years of age, I finally said, I need to be relieved from the stress of guilt, of sin. And I knelt at my bedside with my father and my mother, and I accepted the invitation that Jesus Christ had given when he said, come, come to me, and I will give you rest. It's a wonderful experience. And probably most of you, maybe all of you this morning, have responded to that initial invitation that Jesus gives to us. If you come to me, whether you're 9 years old, the young people aren't here today, at least mostly, or whether you're 80 years old, Christ has promised us relief. And we'll come to the further there. But the first word I want us to notice today is so important. Come. When Jesus went to get his disciples, he said to Peter and Andrew, busy fishermen, making a good living, come, follow me. And they responded to that invitation. So when we look at those words, that first word up there, come to me. One of the beginning points, in fact, the very first step to relief of stress, freedom from stress, is to come to Jesus Christ. I like the story of Zacchaeus. He was certainly stressed out because he had no friends. Sure, he had money, but he decided one day that he would see Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, and Jesus looked up in the tree and saw him, what were Jesus' words? The same words. Zacchaeus, come. I want to go to your house. And as they were sitting there over the dinner hour, eating, enjoying each other, Jesus used that opportunity to share how he could have freedom from sin, from greediness, from the stresses of life. Step one, obviously, is the acceptance of the invitation to come to Jesus Christ. Sometimes this may happen over a period of years, very gradually. I think of Nicodemus. We don't know when Nicodemus actually accepted Christ's invitation to come. But I assume that it took him a while to follow the life of Christ and to say, yes, Jesus, I now believe in you. So I would assume that perhaps over a year or two, maybe 3 years period of time, almost to the crucifixion and then the resurrection, Nicodemus grew in his mind that this Jesus is the one that I need. For some of us, it's really pretty sudden. Paul, God knocked him over the head with a baseball bat. The stars flew. And Paul had to stop, and in that one instant, he came to Christ. Now, there are things leading up to that. He was a good Jewish rabbi. He was a good man. He probably studied the scriptures, but he constantly refused to come to Christ until God had to take action. and in that instant transformed his life. For many others, it's an intentional decision. I am going to follow this one that I see to be the true Messiah. C.S. Lewis is a great man, and I like his writings a lot. He was not an atheist, but he was pretty much an agnostic. He had been raised as a Christian boy, but a number of things happened in his life that really turned him off, and he really got a long ways away from God. But as this university professor, this philosopher, continued to search for truth, he saw that there was only one way, and that was Jesus Christ. And in his own words, he says, "Kicking and screaming, I came into the kingdom." And so some people come into the kingdom accepting this invitation to come very reluctantly and very slowly. But the invitation for freedom from stress begins when we accept this invitation to come. Let's look at the next statement there. "Take my yoke upon you." Now, we don't live in a country, let's have the next slide up here. We don't live in a country where yokes are used anymore. But that's a yoke. I want you to look at that very carefully, because I want to talk about some of the things that yoke prepares us to hear. What does that metaphor, what does that symbol really represent? The next picture will show you a little bit more in detail what that does represent. The good old oxen that we had in India. Now, we didn't own them ourselves, but we saw them all the time. They were very useful. In fact, the first time I had to cross a river without a bridge, we used oxen. I'll never forget it. 1962, that winter. In those days, they did not have a lot of their bridges completed in the country. And so when we went to my friend's home in the rural area, the only way to cross that river in the wintertime was either by boat or to be pulled across by these oxen. Not these, but a pair of oxen. We sat in the ox cart with the water coming up through just through the floor, those high wheels, and those oxen pulling together gradually helped us to get over to the other side. I was always fascinated, in fact, even last fall. When you see these oxen pulling the plows or their ox carts, carrying huge loads at times, they can do it because that yoke is there. Now, you've seen the yoke. What does that yoke symbolize? It's a metaphor or a symbol of a number of things, and I'm only going to mention three of them that you already see in front of you. First of all, it represents not one has to carry the burden, but two carry the burden. One ox can't plow that ground. The yoke ties them together, so that you always have a shared lifting of that burden. A yoke symbolizes we are not alone. And so when Jesus says here in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you," what he is saying is, I am not asking you to carry the stresses of life or the burdens of life. I am walking with you. I am sharing that load. And you know, the beautiful thing is that actually Jesus takes the heavier part of that load. He doesn't make us walk scot-free. But as we walk through life, Jesus walks alongside of us. And he is carrying the heavy portion of that. I like what David said, and then Peter says exactly the same thing. I want to read you these words. In Psalm 55, 22, and 1 Peter 5, 7, the scripture says, "Cast all your cares, all your anxieties," or we could use the word stress, "cast this on the Lord, because he cares for you." whether it was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament or in our generation today, that truth is always the same. The yoke, here we are, and here is Jesus. That yoke is carried between us. Jesus Christ has promised to help to share the load of whatever the stress might be. You know, he already knows anyway. We can't tell him anything new. We only pray because he wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. And so in that desire, we cast our share of the load upon him. A second thing that the yoke symbolizes is a degree of submission and obedience. If one of those oxen refuses to pull, lags behind, or rambunctiously pushes ahead, sharing the yoke is not very effective. They must obey the plowman. There has to be a degree of submission, and sometimes, like breaking in a horse, breaking in an ox is not easy work. But when that happens, and they have learned to submit and to obey, then they are able to lift the load, which one alone would have a great deal of difficulty in lifting. And that's our connection with Jesus. We obey him. When he tells us in his word, this is how I want you to follow me, and submit to that yoke which binds us together, not pulling ahead, not dragging our feet, but following with him, then he is willing and wants to carry that heavy part of the load. The third thing we see with a yoke is there is total togetherness, unity. These two oxen are bound together. They can't separate and wear the yoke. The yoke has two holes in them, one for each ox. And only as they are together can they do the work that has been given to them. And I think that's beautiful. As we walk with Jesus, submit to him, follow him, then he helps to carry this stress or this yoke, this burden. Now, there's another symbol in the New Testament Jesus uses is the vine and the branches, abiding. If you abide in me, those two animals have to abide side by side. Otherwise, the yoke doesn't work. Now, the issue of the vine and the branches could apply to more than one kind of tree. Obviously, we tend to say this relates to the vineyard, where you keep trimming off the vine so new branches can grow up. But the olive tree is the same way. Some olive trees are hundreds and even thousands of years old. And so they keep trimming it. They keep cutting away, pruning it, so that they can be abiding in the main vine. And Christ is trying to say to us, you want to come to me? You want to have relief from stress? Abide in me. Take my yoke upon you. And as we abide in each other, then that relationship grows that enables us to serve and to be with him. Sometimes abiding in John chapter 15 means cutting away, cutting off branches so the new branches can grow, or that the old that aren't bearing fruit can be disposed of, listening to God, or simply relaxing, resting. Abiding in Christ is more than just drinking from the fountain of life. It is getting rid of the excess that we should not need to carry. The yoke ties us together. Abiding in Christ means we are one in him, so that in Psalm 23, we rest where there is shade, where there is food, where there is water. So the yoke symbolizes what Jesus was discussing also in John chapter 15. Thank you. You may shut that off now. David said on one occasion, where can I go and when can I go and meet with God? In Psalm 42. That's abiding. That's carrying this yoke that binds us together with the Lord. Coming to Christ, accepting that invitation, walking with him in that yoke which binds us together, those are the beginning steps. But there are things that we must do, and I've identified a few of those on the outline there this morning. Freedom from stress requires some effort. In fact, a lot of effort on our part as well. If I'm going to live my daily life free from some of the stresses, then I need to look at what I am doing in my life. Now, this is where it gets very practical and where the rubber hits the road. Some people have a lot of financial stress. Maybe all of us to a degree. But sometimes financial stress comes to our lives because we have not sorted out our priorities in life. When I think of Gord, who left this area to put his kids through high school at his own expense, obviously he got some help that he didn't expect. He had to sort through his financial priorities. Now, I wouldn't want to have our family live as skimpily as they did. It was an interesting story. And if you got to know that family, it's wonderful how they managed. But the fact is, in our day, especially the last 30 years, U.S., Canada, and much of Western Europe has seen so much finances available that the rest of the world doesn't have a clue about. We graduate from dolls and teddy bears, or I don't know what boys play with now, maybe those little cars that run around, but we graduate from those things to bicycles, to skidoos, onto old cars, probably in high school, something that we can afford to run, into SUVs or luxury cars, bigger and bigger houses. You know, our financial strain today has gotten quite severe. Hopefully you haven't let that capture you. But for those who have a lot of financial strain, one of the things we must do, in addition to following Jesus, is to examine our priorities in our spending. Do I really need that? There was a church in California not too long ago who got into this subprime mortgaging. They thought everything belonged to them. Their people were buying houses for which they had no money to pay. And when the squeeze came last year, about 75% of those people lost their homes. The pastor himself lost his house. The church that they bought and built, or that they built, they lost that because they had taken mortgages under the subprime concept, which they were no longer able to pay for. You talk about stress? Sure, there's stress in finances. And so we come to Christ and ask him. And with the advice of others, we find how to deal with our finances. You know, we need to forget the Joneses. Just because so-and-so has this doesn't mean that I need to have this. I remember, and I won't tell you this person because you would know who he is. I remember a person saying to me some time ago, his young people wanted this and this and this. The particular thing that came to focus at that time was a boat. And he said to his boys, "No, this isn't my priority." He could have afforded it, but he decided that in sorting through his financial situation, that wasn't where he was going to go. So watch your finances. Another thing relates to our relationships with each other. And in this, I would simply like to say, keep relationships clear and up to date. Keep short accounts. I like what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 26. Don't go to bed angry with anyone. Have you ever gone to bed and say to yourself, I wish I knew how to get back at that person. I'd give him or her a piece of my mind, or maybe worse. But Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 4, 26, never go to bed angry with a person. That could be your spouse, it could be a child, it could be a parent, it could be somebody in the church, it could be somebody in the community. That can be stressful if we're going to carry bad relationships. And so Paul says, love each other and don't go to bed angry with anybody. 1 Corinthians 13 is a wonderful chapter to read and repeat every day. Love helps to dissolve stresses between people. Exams. We don't have many young people here today, but you know, we don't always give up schooling when we're 20. One of the things that brings a lot of stress to people who are in any kind of education is preparing for an exam. Well, what's the best way to avoid stress in preparing for an exam? Keep current. Got a high school teacher here, he could tell us much better. But if we keep up to date with our work and with our studies, a lot of that stress can disappear. So there are practical things that we ought to do and can do to be relieved of stress. What about the pace of life? You know, I'm glad I'm as old as I am. The pace of life has slowed down. Wonderful. Younger families don't have that privilege. But I wonder sometimes if families or people who are in the workforce actually stop and say to themselves, do I need to run from this to this to the other thing from 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night and get worn out totally? The pace of life today can be quite enervating, very disturbing. There's our work, which we can't forsake. There are children, there are parties, there's church work. Here again, it's a matter of looking at some of our priorities. And what about illness? As you get older, but not only older people, anyone is subject to illness. Illness can be a stressful thing. I just finished reading a book about a young boy who had Tourette's disease. A terrible story. But for about maybe 10 to 15 years, he struggled with that. His parents struggled with it. Fortunately, he had parents who walked with him through this terrible disease until finally it got to the place where they said, he is beyond ourselves. And I won't tell you the story. But the stress of dealing with that young man who had Tourette's disease was unbelievable. Finally, he was cured, or almost totally cured. He still had some remnants of it, but it was an amazing story of how he was able to get over it. The reason I tell you that story is the illness of that young boy started at about age 5 or 6 when they first noticed it, and then it simply got worse until he was about age 18 or 20, and he had to be sent away to a camp to deal with this. Stress in families, dealing with illness or a personal illness, that can be very heavy. And we have to learn how to lean on the Lord and how to deal with those things. There are lots of stresses, and you can just imagine, what is my stress? I've left 4 bullets for you to fill out. I don't know what your stress is. We must deal realistically with these things that stress us out. God won't do everything for us. He gives us life and freedom from sin and guilt. He carries our burdens with us. He carries maybe 90% of the load. But there are things in life, in our practical daily living, that we can look at seriously. And we can let God help us change those and be free from stress. The choice really is ours. We can come to Christ, we can let him share our burdens, and we can deal with things that are bothering us. But we will have to decide how we're going to manage that. Let's keep examining our priorities. Let's keep our faith in the Lord, and he will indeed give us freedom from stress. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning that you have promised to give us rest. You have promised to give us freedom. Your yoke is indeed easy compared with not putting it on us. So as we follow you, may we truly find the freedom that we need in your service. In Christ's name, amen.